Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, for the privilege of being together today to talk about this subject. Thank you for the way that you have provided so richly for us with all of your thoughts and instructions to man. You've given us your book, O God. And Lord, you've called us to yourself and you've told us to feed ourselves on it and to build ourselves up in it. And so today, as we discuss this holy activity that you have ordained, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to know the next step you want us to take. And Lord, work in our lives and bless us today in this time. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. I want you to know that what I'm going to share with you works. And so for that reason, I passed out these verse cards, and what I'm going to ask these folks to do is to tell when. I want you to read the date on the bottom left side of the card, and then the year, and then the reference, and see if I can quote the verse word perfect. All right, we'll begin with Dan.
Okay, October 4th, 1967.
Very good year. Yeah, and what's the reference?
Colossians 4:12.
Okay. Good. Flip it over and check me. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 4:12. Is that right?
That you may stand perfect.
Ah, I missed it. Okay, let's go again. Come in. Okay, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, the servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I choked.
Perfect. All
right, good. All right, what do you got?
I have...
It's Jason, right?
Michael,
I'm sorry.
October 28, 1967. And the reference is 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm 50%. Okay, let's see if I can get yours, Andrea.
July 1967. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Did I make it? Okay. All right. Well, that's a living demonstration that scripture memory, as we're going to talk about it today, using the system we're talking about, works. 1967 is the year I started memorizing scripture, and this is 2003. I think that's 36 years. And so that's not to brag. I just want you to know that it works. It will work for you just like it works for me. And so I want you to be convinced that what we're talking about will help you. Now, how many have never been involved in any kind of, you know, consistent scripture memory program? Let me see your hand. Okay, got one. Everybody else has worked on it. Okay, how many have been involved but came for a little refresher? Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to have everybody, and hopefully we will give you something that will help you go on for life, because this is what we're talking about today, is lifetime scripture memory. A few years ago, I taught a Sunday school class in my church, and the class had started out as a pastor's class. And he went to two services, and he graciously asked me if I would teach the class, and so the Lord led me to do it. And so as a result of that fact, he was no longer teaching. The class immediately dropped from 30 to 20. And so for the first 2 years of my teaching, I did what he had been doing, basically stood up and lectured, prepared a handout every week, and... basically lectured in the class and did what we're doing here today. I was spending about 4 to 8 hours a week on the lesson, and really kind of pouring out a bucket of blood for a busy layman to do that. And at the end of 2 years, I evaluated that, and I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if these people are really getting help, the best help I could give them. And one guy even told me, though, he said, I've got a notebook with all your handouts in it. And I thought, well, that's great, you know. But how much is getting into our lives? You know, how much is changing us? And so I evaluated that, prayed about it, and decided that I would give them the best I had to offer them. That is to do basic personal discipleship follow-up with them. So I started a small group Bible study in there, and we started memorizing scripture. And every week I would go and I would bring the verse cards and the translations that they had, that they were using. I print them up on my computer. I had four or five different versions, and just to accommodate them. And I took pencils, you know, and then gave them artificial respiration if they needed that, you know. What I discovered was that even though everybody got quite a bit of help, there was only one guy in there who really began to memorize on his own. And he picked up what we were teaching him. And so that's not a bad deal. One out of 20, if we could get one out of 20 Sunday school members to memorize Scripture on a consistent basis, that would be pretty good average. But my conclusion was that because this is a voluntary activity, what I was doing is what I call CPR, Scripture memory. That is, it's a little bit like giving CPR on a dead person because you don't know whether they're going to come to life or not. But after doing CPR scripture memory for 3 years, I'd say there's one thing vastly wrong with the problem. And that is this, that in order for you to be successful in scripture memory, it will take two things, conviction and commitment. Conviction has to do with what we believe about it. And commitment means agreement with God that we are going to go forward and give ourselves to it. Okay? And as I said in my prayer, I really believe this is a holy activity. This is something God wants us to do. He wants us to fill our lives with the Word. Jesus said I'll never forget that verse. Yeah. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you are truly my disciples. John 8:31. Okay. And so to continue means to know it, first of all, because we have to know it if we're going to be able to walk in it. And secondly, to apply it. Okay. So Jesus wants us to fill our lives with Scripture. And so today I want to begin with your convictions. And we'll look at what the Bible says about whether we should memorize Scripture. In Proverbs 7, 1 to 3, it says, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so to write Scripture on our hearts means to know it so well that it changes our thinking, our attitudes, and our behavior. And there's no better way to accomplish that than by memorizing key scripture verses that speak to areas you need help in. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 says, and these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So, is your home filled with scripture because of your life? Do you teach the word diligently to your children? Do you talk of Scripture when you're at home and at the office? And do you think about it when you go to sleep? And when you get up in the morning, do you go for an early morning quiet time? Well, those are all ways to get the Word into your mind. But the best way to get the Word on your heart is to memorize it and review it. And if you don't do it, then we should not expect those who follow us to do it, whether they're our children or whether they're people we're discipling. Because God made us the pace setter. And the greatest impact we can have on those that follow us is to be what we want them to be. So we need to have high standards for ourselves, and they will eventually catch those. What are the reasons for scripture memory? First of all, it builds us up spiritually. It's for our own, here's a good King James word, edification, or building up. Paul said in Acts 20:34, now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The most important reason for scripture memory is for our own lives. It took me a long time to get started in scripture memory, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But when I finally got started, a guy was helping me, and he encouraged me to memorize three verses a week, three verse cards. Sometimes they had more than one verse on it. And so at the end of a year, I had 150 verses memorized. And I was a different person than I had been when I started. That's the only time in my life I've been able to look back and see spiritual growth in my life. And that was when I had just, and I had a commuting job. I drove 30 minutes to get to work every day. And so I just used that time. I decided I was going to turn off the radio and just focus on reviewing Scripture with my driving time. And it changed my life. Scripture memory gives the Holy Spirit access to us 24 hours a day. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what the Holy Spirit uses to speak to us is His Word. That's His sword. That's what He uses to cut us with. And He'll bring us into contact with that part of the Word that He wants to use. And we may have to, if we don't know what that is, we may have to get the Bible and start flipping through. Wonder what the answer to this is, you know, or may have to call a friend, or maybe God will bring us in contact with some Christian program. But He'll want to get the Word to us. But the best way is if we have packed our subconscious minds with Scripture, then the Holy Spirit will pull those verses out and speak to us right out of those verses. This used to happen to me, and I thought, well, this is kind of strange, because I guess I'm just, there's a connection somehow, and I'm just trying to think of these real fast, because that's exactly what the answer to my question was. I think of something, and then bingo, out would come. It took me a while to realize this was God. God talking to me directly by the Holy Spirit using His Word, just speaking right out of my subconscious mind. You know, your subconscious mind is everything you know that you're not thinking about right now. Okay? And so that's where all that goes. It goes right into storage. But then He is able to pull it out and speak to us. So every verse you've memorized is available to the Holy Spirit to bring out of your subconscious mind. The more you know, the more He can say to you, and the faster He can say it. It doesn't take long to get it from here to here, does it? And He's able to do that real quickly. Sometimes, though, you might have to wander around for a few days before you finally get the answer to your question. And I'm not saying that every answer will come out of what you memorize. I'm just talking about how God will use it in your life. You know, that's a promise in John 14:26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you. So He promised He would bring it to mind. When I first started memorizing Scripture, I thought it was to get equipped to help others, get the Word in my life so I can help other people. The more I memorized, the more I realized that He was using that to change my life, to work on me. And that is the purpose of Scripture memory. So don't miss that. Yes, we're going to talk about the other part too. But the most important thing is what the Word does in your life. In Psalm 119, 9-11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. So every verse we memorize, the Holy Spirit can use to speak to us and lead us and give us encouragement. Now, having acknowledged that it's primarily for our own lives, it's also the greatest help we can have in helping others. So I include in that all the Bible school and seminary academics and everything else. We should memorize so we can share God's truth with others. For example, when we know all the verses in the gospel, we don't even have to have a tract or even a Bible to share the truth of the gospel with another person, do we? We don't have to even have a piece of paper. We could just be speaking out of our mouth, coming right out of our mind, and we could have the gospel right there available for somebody. And by the way, what are the verses that we should use to share the gospel with others? And the topics that we would use. Anybody know those? All have sinned, okay? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23, what's the topic? Sin has a penalty, yeah. Okay, just a minute now. Who's going to quote Romans 6:23 for us? Go ahead, Mike. Okay, so there's a penalty, and the penalty is the wages of sin is death, eternal spiritual death. All right, and the penalty was paid by Christ, and what's that verse? What's the verse for that? Okay, Romans 5:8. Who knows that? Okay, excellent. He demonstrated it. He proved it. He let us know that He loved us. Okay. And what's the next topic? It's a free gift. It's not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Who knows that?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, that not of yourselves.
Amen. That's right. Okay, then what's the next part? You must receive Christ. You can't get there by works. You must receive Him. What's our verse on that?
Revelation 3:20.
That's one? Revelation. Quote that for us. Revelation 3:20.
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. He who hears the door, he who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and meet with him, and he with me. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. All right. There's another one. Who's
John 5:20?
John 1:12.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
But as many as received Him, to those who believed in the Son of God, He became children of God.
All right. We must receive Christ. All right, and then assurance comes from what verse?
1 John 5:11-12.
Give it to us.
And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has
life. Has not life. Amen, sister. That's wonderful. You guys are on target. That's great. So you're ready to go. And so God can use you to help other people. Guide you. It's a promise to us, the children of God, that the answers to all the problems that you and I have are answered in the Bible. That's not every question man can answer. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about all the problems that we have. We can find the answers to our problems in the Word of God. Sometimes it might be a little too general for us, but God wants us to know what those answers are and to have them at our fingertips to help others. Okay, so when we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in our hand, with Him in control of our lives, we can do the work of God. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "But he who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation." So exhortation means, well, or first of all, to prophesy means to speak forth the Word. Doesn't mean to foretell the future in this generation. It means to speak forth the Word of God, like your preacher does on Sunday morning. He prophesies, basically, with the written Word. We prophesy and we share the Word of God with others. So we speak to others for exhortation, edification, consolation. Exhortation means admonition or encouragement. Paul said to the elders of the Ephesians church, Acts 20:31, "Therefore be always alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped night or day seriously to admonish and advise and exhort you one by one with tears." So the great apostle got with those elders and the others in the church one-to-one, seriously, to advise and admonish them with tears in his eyes because of his love and concern for them. Now, the word edification means to build them up. And Paul was not only built up himself by the Word, but he used it to build other people up. And that's why he committed them to the Word in Acts 20:32 when he said, "And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So if you have a grasp of the Word, not only does it build you up, but it builds those that you share it with. And this is one of the objectives of disciple making, to help people get strong and ultimately into the Word for themselves. And the third part is consolation. Consolation means calming or comforting. There's times when people are hurting, and if we've got the Word available, we can share it with them and comfort them with it. When my mother passed away about 5 years ago, one of my sisters remembered that there was a verse that she loved to quote. My mother was a woman of the Word, and so was my dad. He was a man of the Word. I was very, very fortunate. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, which says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." What words? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the two verses that precede that, say this: "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God," or the trumpet of God, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So if you go down to 80 Oklahoma today, you'd find that written on her grave marker. Yeah. So we can comfort people with the word. I had the privilege of being raised in a gospel preaching church from the time I was about 4, and I went to Vacation Bible School and participated in scripture memory then and in Sunday school, and I appreciate it. The only verse I know for sure I learned there, except for John 3:16, is a passage which says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. I'm not reviewing this verse. This is a verse that I just happened to pull out of my subconscious. Psalm 24:7-8. I want to say this with respect for those who are trying to teach church scripture memory, and I include in this Sunday school and WANA programs and things like that. Both my children went through WANAs. If you're not familiar with that, it's a scripture memory program for kids, and they both got good awards in that. And I know that the premise of that is that, you know, God's word doesn't return void, and so I believe that, and I believe some impact is made in every child's life that memorizes some verses. However, how much better would it be if we taught the little ones how to capture those for life and to have fewer verses but know them better? And what we're talking about today is scripture memory that will be in your mind from now on and forevermore. We're not talking about memorizing a verse this week to forget it so you can memorize one again next week when you come back so you can forget that one and memorize another one the following week. Okay, we're talking about lifetime scripture memory. First time I was exposed to this was when I was in the Air Force. I was in pilot training, and there was an instructor pilot who was trying to give me some follow-up, and he gave me a Beginning with Christ packet, one like this right here. I'll try not to pull the CD off. Beginning with Christ, and had 5 little verses in it. And he tried to help me with scripture memory. I wasn't very teachable. But he marked me for life by pointing me in that direction and also by letting me hear him quote his. He told me, he says, "You ought to enroll in the topical memory system." He said, "Send $5 to this address." And so I sent the $5. I got 12 verses back. Back then, they didn't have it packaged for bookstores. You sent to Colorado Springs. When you had the 12 memorized, word perfect, you could send something in, and they would send you some more verses. How do you like that one? Until you finally got up to the 108 that were in there. No longer 108, it's 60 now. So I took those verses and I carried them in my flight suit. I had a zipper pocket right here, and I flew them all over Southwest Texas and up to 30,000 feet even. And one day they even strayed over into Mexican airspace, which they weren't supposed to do. But after all that traveling, they never made it from the 18 inches from my pocket up to my head. I never did memorize them. So I know I'm a slow learner because it seems like the Lord has to get my attention several times on something before I really learn it. But I went back from there to the University of Oklahoma, and several times I tried to get back into scripture memory, and it seemed like every time I would try, I would think, now, I've got all these verses I'm trying to memorize and review every day, and it looks to me like that not going to be too long until I'm going to have somebody either pay me for full-time scripture memory, or I don't know what I'm going to do with this. You know, I couldn't see the deal. So I just wasn't making it in scripture memory. But the summer after I graduated from university, I was involved in doing campus evangelism with a fellow in Max Barnett's ministry. Max is the BSU director down at OU. He's been there since 1967. And this guy was into scripture memory in a big way. He had a verse box about, well, it was probably more like a foot long. And he knew all these verses, and he had them organized, and he reviewed certain ones each day of the week, and he could quote them word perfect, and he would have me check him on them. And I'd never seen anything quite like this. But when he showed me what he was doing and the system he was using, I realized it was possible to consistently memorize Scripture and review it for the rest of my life. Fantastic. So I began then, and I'm still going with the present to the present day with the same basic system that I learned from him, which I'm going to share with you. And I hope it helps you as much as it helped me. Scripture memory with review gives 100% retention. How much do we retain when we really memorize? Somebody tell me. 100. Okay, good. See, that's all right. You go to the head of the class. This will be the head right over here. Okay. Some people say, I can't memorize. How many of you learned John 3:16 when you were a kid? Okay, let's quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And that's King James, of course. Almost everybody in my generation who went to church learned that. But you know, we can know hundreds of verses as well as we know that one, if we'll review. Now, Sally taught our son Jeff his first verse when he was 2 years old. Why don't you stand up and tell him about that, honey? Just sit down and tell him.
Well, let's see. There was a critical that the Bible is popular again now, but he was really popular when our son was. He's 26 now, so it's about 24 years ago. And he came in the house and he was just going around the house, Incredible Hulk, and I was thinking, goodness sake, you know, that's a kind of a long word for a two-year-old to pick up. And I've been thinking, I wonder if he's too young to say Ephesians, you know, verse out of the Bible that would be kind of an unusual and, you know, several civil words. And when I heard him say Incredible Hulk, I thought, if he can say Incredible Hulk, he can say Ephesians. So I taught him Ephesians, verse that says, be ye kind one to another. That's one of the first ones I taught him. And he picked it up and, to me, it was like, instead of teaching him nursery rhymes, which, you know, stay with you for so long, probably remember right now a nursery rhyme you learned when you were little, I thought, I'd rather be teaching him something that he's going to have the rest of his life in that little, you know, mind trap there that will nourish him spiritually. So we tell them a lot of verses like that. They enjoy it.
Well, we didn't just teach them the verse. We reviewed them on the verses, just like we did ourselves. Every night, it was mouth to ear. They learned mouth to ear. You don't have to be able to read to learn to memorize Scripture. You just need somebody who's willing to spend enough time with you to teach you the verse orally. Okay? So it was mouth to ear, and reviewed them ourselves every night before they went to bed. And, you know, I was a little afraid of doing this because I thought, before I had children, I thought, you know, this is forcing it down their throat. But when we got to that point, I looked at these little ones and I thought, you know, I wouldn't say learning 2 + 2 = 4 is jamming education down my children's throat. They need to know that. They need to know what 2 + 2 is. And they need to know many things. So there are a lot of things just education. So we ended up teaching them all the verses in the Ten Commandments, abbreviated, of course, and all the verses in the Gospel. And I did that because I wanted them to know God's standard, that it was perfect and they couldn't meet it. And then I wanted them to understand how they could be forgiven. And so they learned those. Both of them received the Lord before they were 6. And so we were very grateful. But we stayed with Scripture memory for many years. And when their motivation fell off, I appealed to their carnal nature and began paying them a penny for each verse memorized and reviewed. And the money was insignificant, but it was like a ticking time bomb that went off in their lives. And both of them are effective in Scripture memory today. And, of course, there was a point where they had to begin to move on their own. And we couldn't just say, well, you know, this is what you'll do. Some people think Scripture memory is for kids, and that's a trick of the devil. He's got more Christians faked out that they're too mature to memorize when, in fact, they're babies in Christ. Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the weapon God uses. It is not your feelings and emotions. The Word is what He uses to convict us of sin and our need to change. And you may be thinking, John, I could memorize too when I was young, but I have a harder time remembering now that my circuits aren't moving quite as fast. And I don't have to wait to find out about that because I already know. I'm already old, and I know what that's like. Let me encourage you, if you're young, just getting started in this, pack as much Scripture away in your mind as you can do, and just go for it. Go max for it. And there will be a time when you'll have to back off, but this is not the time. You need to gun it and go ahead and really get going on it. And if we're older, what we have to do is we have to do more repetition. If I'm trying to learn a verse now, instead of working on it for 2 months, I might work on it for 4 to 6 months. Not because I don't know it, but because I'm really trying to work the groove into my mind. Repetition is the key to effective scripture memory. That's why we say review, review, review. And that's why they have these little cards to carry so we can use up spare moments. While you're driving or jogging or walking, I do verses when I'm walking. I walk 3 miles at a time and normally 3 to 5 days a week.
While you're driving?
Yeah, you can do it while you're driving.
And your cell phone?
No, you can't do your cell phone and your verses. You wouldn't have anything to hold the wheel on. Yeah, right. But, I mean, assuming that you don't have to talk on your cell phone, you can do your verses one at a time. All right, how to memorize Scripture. Well, the method is carrying these navigator-sized cards, and this method has worked for thousands of people over 50 years since two single school teachers came up with it and helped a man named Dawson Trotman in the 1930s. I believe this is the only method that stands the test of time for a lifetime scripture memory program. Why not 3x5 cards or just use the Bible? I knew a guy one time who actually copied scripture on a copy machine. He'd take one column and then he would laminate that and he carried it around his pocket. But you can see there's somewhat of a limitation on how many of those you can actually get in your pocket, you know. Why not 3x5s? Well, they're hard to work with. You know, you can't carry that many 3x5s. But this little pack right here I've got in my pocket, well, you can carry up to 100 cards right there in that little thing. And that's a little bigger one. You have to get a little bigger one made. But this is a system that works. How long should we remember a verse? Well, remember it, of course, for life. In order to effectively memorize a verse, we have to review it every day for at least 8 weeks and then put it in a back review system that gets us through it weekly or at some regular interval. And so let's get into scripture memory. I'm going to pass out some, I thought I was going to pass out some cards. Oh, my goodness. Well, I left the cards away. The house, I guess. How did that happen? Let me just check one more time. Oh, there they are. Take a card and pass it around, if you will, and take one and pass it around. And these are blank cards that you can get, and or you can make your own. The size is 1 3/4 by 2 3/4. And these cords are something else. So here's what I want you to do with that as soon as you got it. On one side of the card, and let me see one of those, please. Okay. On one side of the card, up here, fairly close to the top, I want you to write Genesis 1:1. Okay, so write Genesis 1:1. And in the bottom left-hand corner, write SEP 20. In the middle bottom, write 2003. On the right-hand side, write NOV 20, November 20th, okay? Like that right there. Now, does anybody know Genesis 1:1? Okay, good. Quote Genesis 1:1 for us. All right, that's the King James, right? Okay. The only difference between that and New American and the NIV is it says heavens instead of heaven. Okay, so whichever one you're using, if you want to use the NIV or the King James or the NAS, like I say, if it's King James, it'll be singular. But on the, flip the card like this. Now, here's what I'm watching me carefully. Okay, the card is upright, looking at you. Flip it like this. Okay, don't flip it like that. That's turning it. Okay, now you say, what's the difference there? This is a little bit easier motion to flip it over like this, especially if you're driving, talking on a cell phone. Driving with your knee, you know, if you've ever done that while you're getting your hamburger over here. Okay, so flip it like this and write Start at the top. In the beginning, God created the, and if you're using King James, write heaven. If you're using other versions, write heavens. Created the heavens and the earth. Now somebody check me in your translation to make sure that's what it says. Somebody check me? Okay, what are you using?
NIV.
Anybody got an NAS? Okay, that's all right, I've got one here. That's what it says, I've already checked it. All right, good. So that's how to print up a verse card. And, you know, if you're just beginning, I would encourage you to do this kind of a flip on your cards. And if you've only got a few, do the same thing instead of having this motion here. Now, when you get to the point when you're doing about 1,000 verses a month, that'll make a difference, just how fast it takes you. So that's just a little efficiency thing. It's a little easier. A lot of people have done it the other way. Nothing wrong with that. This is, if you're beginning, this is a way to get started. Okay, and the second thing is, or the third thing, excuse me, is memorize the verse by phrases. And you can help someone else learn one, or you can learn it yourself. This is a short one, but we're going to do it in phrases just for practice. Now, one of the things that we want to do is we want to learn to say the verse reference first, say the verse, and then say the verse reference. So we always say the reference twice, and the reason for that is it's twice as hard to remember. Okay? So we're going to learn this, and so here's what we're going to do. We're going to say Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. We're going to say that 10 times. Then we're going to say God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. We're going to say that 10 times. Okay? Then we're going to say the whole thing 10 times with the references before and after. Okay? This is how we learn a verse. And if you have trouble memorizing, this will work for you. If 10 doesn't do it, you can go to 20. 20 doesn't do it, you can go to 30. 30 doesn't do it, you can go to 40. And at that point, if 40 doesn't do it, then sit down and write it out by hand. Okay, here we go. So who's going to count for us? Okay, would you count for us? All right, she's going to count 10 times for us. All right, here we go. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. 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 Okay, switch over to God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. The heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Now we're going to do the whole thing 10 times, okay? We'll put the two together. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Good. Now that's how you memorize a verse. And you have done it. You have now memorized Genesis 1:1. All right. Okay, Gene, why don't you give it to us?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Wonderful. Great. Now somebody over here on this side, quote it for us. The way we were quoting it.
1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
Good. Did you know that verse before? You know it now, don't you? Okay. Anybody else want to quote? Well, that's a great verse to know. First verse in the Bible. Dan, what happened in Genesis 1:1? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, it's very simple, isn't it? Now, you see what I mean by mouth to ear. You can do this with little children. You can do it with people who can't read. But you can do it with yourself, most of all. And if you've got a big, long, hairy verse that's got about 15 phrases in it, it'll work. You just keep building, 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 building. We've got repetition, repetition, repetition. Okay. Yeah.
Go to your second verse. Say tomorrow.
All right.
But how many verses would you take a week first?
Okay. I would suggest that you, if you're motivated, that you take at least two and space them out Monday and Thursday maybe.
So this one, we really learned it the first day.
You learned it the first day. Every day for 2 months. For 2 months, okay? So you're going to review every day for 2 months. Now, one of the reasons we put the reference on the backside is we only want to look at the reference when we're reviewing. A lot of people review by looking at their card. They have their reference right up here. Well, the problem with that is what? You're prompting yourself by looking at it, right? You don't mean to cheat, but that's just the way you were taught to do it. So you just look at those and you say, okay, in the beginning, God said. Well, do you have them really sharp off the reference? Well, if you do it this way, you can have them off the reference, okay, which is really what you want, right? Now, there's some verses, sometimes we memorize topics, and those can throw you. Sometimes you'll remember the topic and you'll remember the verse and you can't remember the reference, okay? So you have to work real hard on those. Nothing wrong with topics. I'm going to recommend them to you here in a minute. What time do we quit? 2:15. Wow. That's what I get for being late. All right. So we're going to review every day for 8 weeks or 2 months, basically. And then we're going to put them into a back review system, which I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes. We've talked about prompting ourselves with a reference. When do you review? Heather, when's the time you have that you can actually work on scripture memory? Okay, so when you drive, that's a good one. You probably have some habit patterns, like you probably listen to something while you're driving, and so you may have to change those. You may have to just pray and say, Lord, help me to, you know, have the strength to say no to the music or the news or whatever I'm listening to, or CDs or whatever. But you can pick up that time. Sally, when's a good time when you review?
My best time is when I'm walking.
When she's walking, okay. Somebody else, when have you got some time when you could be doing two things? Yeah. Okay. Somebody else.
Walking to class.
I'm sorry?
Walking to class.
Excellent. Okay.
Eating breakfast.
All right. Good. Excellent. Some people laminate these and do them in the shower. But I say there's a limited amount of verses you can do in the shower just by virtue of the fact that you're not going to get them all laminated. How can we stay motivated to do it? Now, here's my rule. I try to do my verses when I'm walking or during the day, but I have a deal with myself that if I don't have them done by bedtime, I don't go to bed without doing them. Think about that now. I have a deal with myself that I don't go to bed without doing my verses.
Okay. No bed, no verse, no bed.
No verse, no bed, no Bible, no breakfast. That's just the way it is in life. And this has helped me, and I check myself, and I keep a record of what I do, so I don't cheat on myself. Because forgetting what we did sometimes is just going to lead us to not really know how we're doing. Okay, so that's how I do it. And I have gotten up after I've gone to bed and had to go back in and review. I have had times when I got to bed about 2 or 3 in the morning and I'm telling you that I was reading those verses instead of reviewing them, but I want you to know I was sitting there doing it. And so there's times like that. But also, I allow myself to make up. If I miss a day, I make it up the next day or as soon as I can. But if you do that, always do tomorrow's first. Okay? So don't tomorrow, if you miss Saturday, tomorrow do Sundays first. And if you've got time to do Saturdays. Okay? So you get back on schedule, so you stay encouraged that way. You're not always behind. Okay, you follow that one. How do we stay motivated to do it? There you go. You know, always take your verses to the doctor.
15 or 20 minutes, or you're in the examining room, you know, in your shorts with your verses.
There you go.
But you can pack away a lot of verses if you're just waiting, like an appointment, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you have any situation in your career or your home where you've got time to wait, that'll do it. Be around other people who are doing it. You may be thinking as you look at this, are you really serious? I mean, no one does this kind of memory work just for Bible verses. Maybe full-time preachers and seminary graduates do it, but they're paid for doing it, and this is surely not for laymen. Well, my friends, I know a lot of laymen who do this, and their lives are very effective for God because of it. And this is scripture memory for busy people, and most of you in here are busy. But for most of us, it also takes some accountability with somebody else. And so if you need accountability, be sure and get that. Now, I keep accountability on myself. I keep a little chart on what I'm doing. So I don't have to ask anybody how I'm doing, but I do share it with some people so that they know. And that's a great help to me because none of us likes to fail on our goals. And so it doesn't get me over the hump, but it keeps me working. But I've had the privilege of being around some other men who are effective in scripture memory, and we keep each other strong. And as I meet with people for Bible study and discipleship, this is one of the parts that I always try to include. I review them, and they review me. I don't expect to just review them and not be reviewed unless we're short of time. Okay, so it's a two-way street. You never get to the point where you can't fall off, Dan. So you get. And I meet with some guys. One guy's in university, one's in medical school. And so I'm meeting with some young guys with sharp minds, and they're doing great. But I get them to check me. Okay, where do you get the verses? All right. I love that. So for when you're beginning, I would recommend that you get these packets. Has everybody memorized these or tried to? Okay. Beginning with Christ has got 5 verses. It's the 5 verses on assurance. And then Going On with Christ has 8 verses. Both of these have Bible study booklets that go with them. And so these are basic tools. Also, I like to help people get the topical memory system. And this is about I don't know what these cost now, probably $15. But this has got 60 verses in it with topics. And all those gospel topics are in there. And you'll find that there's 12 verses, 2 on each topic. Just to get you equipped and sharp on evangelism. And so this is something that if you don't have that done, that would be a great thing to do. You're going to need a verse pack to keep them in. This is a verse pack. In case you didn't know that, you can buy one on the book table. And what most people do is they keep the verses they're learning in one side of the pack, and then the verses they're reviewing, their back review, in the other side of the pack. Okay? All right. I like to memorize out of the version I'm reading. I try to read a different Bible in my quiet time each year. There's only so many, so I rotate through them. This year, I'm reading in the Old Testament. I'm reading the New King James Version, which is an excellent version. And the New Testament portion, I'm reading the 1534 version written by William Tyndale. that's another story, but it's really been a blessing to me. I read his biography. He's a man who was martyred for translating the Bible into English. It's the first time any public translation had been made, and they were smuggling it into England. He was over on the continent, and the authorities in the church caught him, and that was a no-no. So they killed him. And he'll be one of those guys up close to the throne when we get there. Anyway, I'm reading his translation. So sometimes you, whatever you're reading, God will speak to you out of a particular translation. So you might want to memorize that. Or if you're on a doctrinal point, memorize it out of a translation that you trust, that you know is really accurate. Okay? Also, you can take the verses and get someone to review on them. I was a transport pilot in the military, and I found that opened the door. One time, I was flying with a guy. We were on an overseas trip, and he was a guy that's a pretty rough customer, and we were up droning across the Great Pacific one sunny day, and on autopilot, and so I was able to get him to review me on my verses, and he didn't receive the Lord, but he got to hear 108 verses in the topical memory system, so he's responsible for what he heard. This will change your life. It really will. Let's talk about setting up your back review system. And let's go over to page 5, how to have a lifetime back review. And let me show you what I recommend that you do after or while you're getting ready to you're memorizing these verses. You know that day is coming when you're going to take them out of your current verses that you're learning and put them in a back review system. Then you need some effective way to manage this little system. And so this is called, this is what I'd call a verse box. This verse box is actually a business card box sold by mailboxes, etc. Okay? And so what I did was I took a piece of cardboard and I just made it the right size that I could kind of narrow that down about the width of verse cards. You see that? So that verse card will fit right in there, just about the right size, okay? Now, the second thing I did was, and this system was all shared with me, is I made these little tab dividers, one for each day of the week. All you do to make those is you trace around a verse card and put a little tab up here on the top. Write the day on it. Sunday, and here's one for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's what that yellow sheet is that I've given you. You can actually cut those out. The reason I wrote them on there instead of making them fancy with a computer is that what you want your system to be is you want it to be pass-onable to other people. You want them not to have a computer in order to do this. Like some guys, they say, well, using my PDA to memorize verses, this is heaven. That's great, but it's not pass-onable. Not to enough people in the world yet. Until every man on earth is holding a PDA and is computer literate, it won't be pass-onable. You want a system that will allow you to disciple other people with it. Okay? If you want to sneak off and use your PDA, well, help yourself. But have a system that'll work. And so what this is it's just some tabs, and so you get these dividers. And so the first time you take a verse out, you've only got one verse in your back review, and that comes up on Sunday, right? Okay, so Sunday, you pull that out, put it on the other side of your pack. The next day, you put it back in there. It's only going to be a few days until another one's going to come out, and you put it behind Monday, and then you just work in there, and you've got now 7 verses in your back review system, one for each day. You probably don't even have to carry them in your pack, but you can develop the habit of doing that so that eventually it's not going to be long until you could have as many as 5 in each day. That'd only be 35 verses, wouldn't it? 7 5 is 35. And pretty soon that would... You might have 10. Okay, that'd be 70, wouldn't it? That's not that many verses. You could have 10 verses you're doing in your back review while you're learning the new ones, okay? And so you put them in this little box, and every day, Heather, before you go to work, you reach over there, you look at the day of the week, you pull out the back review verses, And you put them in that side of your pack, and now you can have your back review done by the time you get home. Okay? Now, in order to keep this from falling down, this is just a little slider thing you can make out of cardboard. Now, there's many more fancy verse boxes. Here's one John Crawford gave me. He brought it back from New Zealand. Pass that one around. You can look and see what that is. And this one is kind of filled up. You can see what it looks like. But it's got, this is a two-week review, okay? And these are some verses that I've reclaimed because they got real rusty on me. And so I started, put them into my current review and started reclaiming those. And you can do that. When you lose verses, there's basically two things you can do with them. One, you can start all over and memorize the verse over again like you never knew it. And that may be what you need to do. Or you can take a pack full, put them in your current review, refresh yourself on them for about a month, and then work them back in. Okay? You will have that happen to you if you go long enough. You'll lose some just because of the nature of the case. The review will get weak or something. Okay? So that's what a two-week review system looks like. And that one has probably, I would say, 20 to 24 verses a day in it. Okay? And so you can see what you can work toward. And as you get more and more verses, you can just trim that little slider thing off so that it begins to fill up the box and you can actually develop your back review system and have a way to control it. But the back review is the key to being able to stay with this system for life. But it's worth it. Believe me, it's worth it. Now down here on page 5, number 2, divide the number of verses in your back review by the number of days you want to review them in. For example, 35 days is 5 days, 7 verses a day, Monday through Friday. If you, for example, I started reviewing when I was commuting, and I found that I could get all my verses done in 5 days because I did them all at the same time. But I had a very difficult time once I went to a 7-day review trying to get them done on Saturday and Sunday because I didn't drive anywhere. Okay? So we develop habit patterns. And so if you're using, you know, something like driving, try a 5-day review. Now, when you get too many verses to get done in a day, go to a 2-week review. Okay, so instead of Sunday, you'll have Sunday 1, Sunday 2, Monday 1, Monday 2. Okay, see how that works? So just expand it on out. Now, right now I'm working on some verses. I've got a 5-week review system on a certain set of them. Another set, I've got a 4-week review system. Another one, this is my 2-week review system. So things, just use your creativity. If you're having trouble, you know, like the verses you memorize when you first get started, you'll have those cold for a long time, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever reviewed me on that. Okay? So those you'll know well, and you'll be able to hold them with less frequent back review system. Later on, you'll learn some verses that you won't know as well. And so you might have to kind of reclaim those every now and then, refresh yourself on them. Does this make sense? Am I communicating?
So how do you keep up with, like, if you have a 2-week review and a 3-week review and a 5-week review, do they, like, one day are you back reviewing 3 different sets of...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I have this little 4-pocket review, verse pack. I color code 1 with green. Those are the ones that I'm good on. Green for good. These are the ones I've reclaimed. Red for caution. Now, wait a minute. That's worse than caution, isn't it? Yellow. Yeah. These are iffy. You better look out. Okay. So, and then I have the current review side, which I'm reviewing. And these are some reclaims out of Romans chapter 11. Use your creativity, but stick with the same basic system. When you first get started, you know, 1 week, hold on to that as long as you can. Don't try to get too far out. You'll have those verses and you'll have them well if you're doing them every week. When you go to 2 weeks, you'll still have them really good. 3 weeks, they're getting a little farther apart. Go to 4 weeks, you can still hold them with 4 weeks. When you go to 6 weeks, then you're losing them day by day. And that's what happened to me on some of these that I'm reclaiming. I went to a 6-week review. I had it all in the same review system, and I was trying to do it in a 6-week. And finally I said, hey, I'm reading too many of these verses when I review them. So I pull these out. These are the ones I don't know. These are the ones I do know. That helped me right away because I know these. Okay, so I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm just saying that if you will work at it, you know, this system will work for you. Okay? Now let's see if there's anything else we need to talk about.
On the topical review,
yes, ma'am.
They are printed already. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, let me show you what I do with those. Here's 1 John 5:11 and 12 in the King James. Okay? Now, what are you memorizing? King James or the other side's NIV? What do you memorize?
NIV.
You memorize NIV. Okay. Now, to use our same system, here's what you do. That's the side you want to work off of. That's the NIV, okay? You flip it the same way. Now you've got the King James upside down. Now you take a pen and you X through that.
Okay.
You write your reference at the top, your day you memorized, and the year and the day you're going to take it out on the bottom. Now, this looks messy. I'm sorry. I apologize for the navigators. They print them on both sides. They didn't learn my system. If they did, they would have printed the reference on the back, see? Now, this, I didn't get that idea myself. I didn't think of that. So somebody in the navigators in times past has had that system, and somebody else changed it when they came along and said, hey, we're not, you know, that costs us too much money, too many pages, so we got to make those pennies. Anyway, whatever. So that's how you do it with pre-printed verses. Mark it out on the other side. Do the same thing. Put your reference at the top, your date at the bottom. Now you can flip it. Okay, and you'll need to do that all the way through the topical memory system. But hey, you're going to get confused anyway if you have verses, you know, which side is the one I know? Well, so mark it out. Mark out the one you don't know. And then you'll be able to go right along, and you're not going to get any prompting because it's upside down. Okay? What else do I need to cover, sweetheart? Now, if you need a verse box and you'd like to have one, I have a couple of extras here. And somebody can have the one that I've already put together. These just fold together at the creases. You won't have any trouble figuring that out. Help yourself to that. Let me just draw your attention to number 8 on page 6. Eventually, you will need to have a 3-week and then a 4-week review system. Visualize yourself knowing 520 verses. Now, if you memorize 2 verses a week for a year, how many will that be? 52 times 2 is 104. Okay? Good. I knew he was at the head of the class. 104 verses. If you just do 2 little verses a week and keep them with a back review system. Now, if you did that for 5 years, how many would that be? 520. That's what we've got here, isn't it? All right? Now, if you did that for 10 years, how many would that be? 1,040. Good. And for 20 years? 2,080 verses. Now, anybody not planning to be around in 20 years? Well, I'm marginal. I might not be around in 20 years, but I'd be 82. So, you know, maybe I'll make it. John Crawford's about 82. Well, if we're going to be here, gang, we might as well be making use of the time, hadn't we?
Yeah. All right.
2 verses a week. Can you do that for Jesus?
2 bucks.
And if you do it and consistently review and use a system that'll help you back review, you can get there. 2,000 verses. Amazing. You ladies would be in demand to come and preach at various women's conferences. She's the lady that knows 2,000 verses. But it's just a little at a time. And consistency, gang, is more important than volume. Doing it every day is more important than how much you get. Okay? So God will speak to you out of your quiet time. There will be some things. And so make yourself what we call a future memory page. That's just a sheet of paper in your spiritual notebook. It says, pretty soon I want to memorize this verse. I've got some others right now. But just keep a list of them and then you'll go back. And you think, I knew there was a verse I want to memorize. Well, if you've got a future memory page, just write it down. Okay?
Also, a good idea is to write a list of the ones you have memorized in case you lose them in your car.
That's right. Most people have either put them through the wash or lost them. And I've got some good stories that we don't have time to tell. Yes. So keep every now and then update your list. Have a list. And if it's possible, you don't have to do this at first, But eventually it helps to put your back review verses in Bible book order, Genesis to Revelation. Okay? So have them listed. And what I do is I do a sheet of paper for each book. That way I can add new ones without having to somehow fit it in. If you're putting them on a computer, of course, you just slide that right in there. Yes?
The NAP pack has a card that you put your name, your address, and phone number on. And I found out that if you lose it, it'll really get it back.
Well, that's good to know. So if they fall out of the car, you've had it.
If you have something that identifies that this is yours.
That's right. And a lot of people would be glad to return them. What you got? Oh, that phone number. Okay. Where are you going to get these cards and verse packs and all that stuff? And that phone number I gave you is to the Oklahoma University Baptist Student Union. I don't know where my handout is now. Somebody read it off to me. What's it say?
405-329-2990.
I mean, what are the instructions there?
First pack and verse cards are available at BSU Bookstore, 435 West Point, Oklahoma.
329-2990, right? Okay, so if you need materials, you can call there, and they'll mail them to you for a small fee. They have the topical memory system, but none of the rest of it. They normally don't stock the beginning of Christ. You can order it. But finding a verse pack at Mardell, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. But they have them down there at the BSU. They also have cards if you don't want to cut your own. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this good time. Father, thank you for giving us these practical helps and this equipment that people have come up with that help us with this task of hiding your word in our heart. Lord, I know Satan hates this, and he would do anything to stop these dear children of yours from doing it. So I pray you'd prevent him. Cover him with the blood of Jesus. Bind him against them. Help them to look to you and follow you in terms of doing this so that they're doing it as to you, believing you want them to do it. And then give them great success, Lord, and use them mightily and build them up in the faith. I thank you for each one in Jesus' name. Amen.